I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Empire.
Hello and welcome to my podcast. Do me a favor, subscribe to the John Kime Report wherever you get your podcasts. You're watching on YouTube, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. You can find us there as part of Empire Media. That's A-M-P-I-R-E. Always much appreciated when you tune in. And when you go to the Empire Media page, you want to become a member, there's a place where you see the word join. Click on that. You see what level of membership you'd like to become. Thank you to everybody who's joined so far. Appreciate the support. Anyways, you want to do that? There it is. And don't forget, you can always read my work on ESPN.com. I have a story up now about the Commanders' options with the number two pick as far as, do you stay put? Do you trade back? Do you trade up? And so I went through each option, why it makes sense, why it doesn't. Anyway, it's all on there now. In a few minutes, I'm going to be joined by former Washington Redskins linebacker Ryan Kerrigan, turned assistant coach. Now, I had a chance to talk to Ryan one-on-one a couple weeks ago when we met with the assistant coaches, and I played this particular interview for the club members a week and a half ago, but I want to play for you now. If you want to skip right to the interview, it's at the end. It's about 4 or 5 minutes long. And for everybody always asks, why not put video? Of course I would want video. But when I do these one-on-ones, it's a lot easier to do it when you're in person. It's a lot less awkward to do it with the way I did it. That's why I do it this way. And it's also collecting work for ESPN. That's my prime. That's my job. And so that's the best way for me to do it. That's why I do it this way. Of course, yes, I would always prefer video. If it's in a group setting, I use video because it's less awkward. There you go. Anyway, so begin. 4 or 5 minutes long, end of the show. There you go. So what I'm going to do today is go over some of the connections that Adam Peters and Dan Quinn have as far as guys to watch for possibly in free agency. So a lot about like the Cowboys and the 49ers, but a couple names that may have connections. One in particular, a linebacker that has a connection here, or to Adam Peters, that I want to get into. So I'm going to get into that in a minute. I'm going to start with, though, just a brief update on the stadium situation because of what's going on with the Caps and the Wizards and their inability to get the deal done in Virginia. So what does that mean for the Commanders in a possible stadium in either Virginia or the district? Now in Virginia, clearly there's not an appetite toward giving billionaires money and funding for a stadium. So if that continues, it certainly doesn't bode well for the Commanders building a stadium in Virginia. Now, the other thing is, of course, is RFK. I think we all know that that would be the primary spot they'd like to go, just based on, for a lot of reasons. What they definitely want to do is at least see the process through. And that means letting the district see what happens there. But if the Wizards and Capitals end up staying in the district, then does the district have an appetite for then giving the Commanders the money it would take to get to RFK? And I think there's some people who wonder that, or who think that that would not be the case, that they would not have that appetite, which could then possibly lead them back to Maryland. And we're still about a year away from really knowing it. But as you see what happened the other day with the Caps and the Wizards, that's just the initial read of it from some people I talked to. Where it goes, we'll still find out. But I think you need to let the process play out in D.C. But if the Caps and Wizards stay there, then I think it could make it there. Listen, a week or so ago, there was optimism toward getting back to RFK. I don't know how much that's been dented by this, but I know for some people it has been, but not necessarily connected with the franchise, just some people who understand and know the situation. But we'll see. I know they're going to let it play out because you have to see, you have to give the district a good chance, and you have to get you as an organization, you want to make a good faith effort to get back there if that becomes possible. Anyways, long way to go with that one. So that's just a quick update. let's get to free agency. Let's start with the Dallas Cowboys and Dan Quinn, because I do think there's some guys here who could end up in Washington. And so I'm going to run down some of the free agents and go over them, just a brief look at each one of these guys. But Tyron Smith, obviously, still a very good tackle. And the problem is, and I had a little video for the club members early in the week about this. Briefly, the only way you're really going to sign him is to a three-year deal. To get him, the only way I think a team like Washington would get him is for a multi-year deal. This guy wants to go somewhere to win a Super Bowl. That's not here. So if you offer him a one-year deal, yeah, it looks great and he would make sense. But would it make sense for Smith? And I think the answer is no. He's going to want to go somewhere after being close in Dallas, at least in getting the playoffs, going somewhere where you can win a Super Bowl. That's not going to be here. So I just think it would be a difficult fit. So the next up on offense is Tony Pollard. No, I'm not paying. If I'm them, I'm not paying a running back. That would be a hard one to see. You've got Brian Robinson, you've got Chris Rodriguez, and then you can go draft a guy. And if you're going to sign a running back like that, I would just go get Antonio Gibson. But I also think that in this situation, it would make more sense to draft a running back. Now, I don't know if they're thinking the same thing. That's my thinking, but I don't, you know, that's what is logically what makes sense. The guy on offense that makes sense is Biadasz, the center, and the Tyler Biadasz. The question will be, how much is he going to want? If it's going to be over $10 million, do you want to give that to him? But what I do know is they need a center, and they have Ricky Stromberg. They drafted him last year, but because he was hurt for most of the year or didn't play and then got hurt, you really don't know they don't know what he can do. And I don't know what they thought about him coming out of college, which is always key. I did talk to someone here who felt he would project more as a backup. But bottom line is you can't go into the season with him as your starter, and Tyler Larson keeps getting hurt. So that wouldn't make sense either. So you're going to want a veteran center to me to pair, especially if you're going to get a rookie quarterback. Get the veteran center, help the guy out by having someone who can help him with the protection calls. Biadasz is a solid center, so it would make sense. I just don't know what the price tag is going to be. So the other guys, corner Jordan Lewis, really good in the locker room. And I think that's important for what they're looking for. And I do think the locker room has had I think the players in the locker room have been pretty good. Like I don't think there's been a big issue there the way there was several years ago in the Bruce Allen era. Lewis, though, I think he does have an issue with the foot. So I don't know, but he's a good slot player, but I don't know where he's at with the injuries, with the health situation. That could be an issue. One of the guys that I think is definitely someone to watch is Dorrance Armstrong. So the defensive end, they need defensive ends. He's a guy that my understanding is that a guy that Quinn liked in Dallas, and he did a nice job for him. I think he had 7.5 sacks last year. Solid guy in the locker room. So he makes sense, but he would come in here and fill a need right away for them. Is he great? No, but I think he's a guy that one knows the defense and they know him more importantly. And I think then it's like, how do you fit? And clearly he's a guy that learned to work with a lot of talent around him and succeeded because of it. Stephon Gilmore, he's in his early to mid 30s. Has undergone shoulder surgery or will. So he may not be even ready till June or July. It doesn't seem like that would be a great investment for them. Can still play, but is that a good investment or not? And by the way, with Armstrong, I'm wondering, like, when you look at the price tag, it could get around that 8-9 per year. But it is a guy that I think that would definitely be, I do think I could see him coming here. The other guy I could see coming here is Dante Fowler. And he would be more of a rotational pass rush defensive end. But he's a guy, listen, Dan Quinn recruited him to Florida, had him in Atlanta, and brought him to Dallas. So, the math kind of adds up there. And it just adds up there. And again, not a star. I don't think he'd be a starter, but I think he's a guy that could be a backup for you. And I told you the other day, there has been dialogue with James Smith Williams, as well as Casey Tuhill. I could see one of those guys. Listen, if they don't get a guy like Fowler, I could see both those guys returning, but I think more likely probably one of them would come back, especially if you go out and get a couple of these guys, because then you're going to want to draft a guy as well. You definitely should draft a defensive end as well. And so I think those are some of the guys that I would look for from Dallas who would be, oh, Jayron Kearse is the other one, the safety. So then it depends on what do they do with Cam Curl. And if Cam Curl, first of all, the safety market's getting depressed. And that's why I think that price tag will come down for a lot of the guys, especially somebody like Cam Curl. So there are a lot of guys getting cut. Justin Simmons was cut. Jordan Poyer cut. It's of those two, Simmons has a lot more left. So I think that's a guy that if you wanted him, I think the price tag is going to be higher. It may be a one-year deal. I don't know. But like I think that's a price tag that would be higher, but he can still play. Also, Adam Peters was was with the Broncos when they drafted him in 2016, for whatever it's worth. But Kearse is another guy that, because he played in Dallas, he played for Witt and Quinn, that he would be a lot cheaper. So if you don't keep Cam Curl, if you feel like he's too expensive, this would be an inexpensive option, a more inexpensive option, not coming off his best year. Before, I know going last year, I know he was considered a leader. Quinn likes to play three safeties, so you're going to want a guy. And I think it'd be good to have a veteran back there whoever you get back there, you need it to be a good communicator, because you do have youth around you. You're going to have, I mean, I think Quan Martin can be a good communicator as well. I think he's a smart player. Derek Forrest, I think, can help with that. You do have some young guys. Percy Butler, I think, can grow into them more of that, but he may just be more of a fourth safety. And I think, again, I think I'm expecting them to bring back Jeremy Reeves, but, you know, sometimes what you expect and what happens are two different things. But I think I would still, if you're going to go out and get a guy that's going to be part of that three-man rotation, it's got to be a guy who communicates well, and that is a strength of theirs. So that's it with Dallas. So let's look at the 49ers. They have more free agents, but not, I don't think there's a lot more that I would expect to come here. There is one guy who used to be in San Francisco that I think could be one to watch. But let's go on the list. Tayshaun Gibson, safety, did not have a good year. I don't think that he'd be a guy that you should bring in. He's in his 30s. He's talked about retiring the last couple of years. It doesn't make sense. Oren Burks, a linebacker, I told you the other day, to me, he makes some sense. You know, he would be a guy that you bring in as a special teams guy, and most likely as a backup linebacker, but certainly somebody that can help you, and somebody who I think would be good in a lot of ways. But if he's just I think he could improve as a backup linebacker, if nothing else, backup linebacker, special teams guy, I think he could be one to watch there. Cleland Farrell, rotational end, but he became a starter for the Niners, even after they traded for Chase Young. He started, he was their first two down guy. So a good run defender on the edge, and they need a guy like that. And, former top five pick, he's a guy that some of the people there think that their play took a hit when he wasn't around there at the end, 'cause he got hurt. But he is a guy that can certainly play, and he's a definite discipline guy, effort guy. I think you could use both of those at that spot for Washington. It does sound like the 49ers would like him back, so that, you know, certainly would make it difficult. But I think, you know, but he's a guy that I could see having interest in just because of tie with Peters. Matt Pryor is an offensive lineman, would be more for depth as a guard tackle. Joe Feliciano started at guard there, can play guard or center. Now, he was playing right guard, but he can play either guard spot. And again, he can play some center too. And I think so I was talking to someone out there, he wouldn't be surprised if Peters did like him a decent amount. But again, he can fill that left guard role if you want to, because Sam Cosmi's got to stay at right guard. He did a nice job. He really finished strong. But I think that's Feliciano is a guy that could help them with the interior line and the line depth, if nothing else. Chase Young, no. Let's see. Chris Conley is a backup receiver, special teams guy, speed guy, cover guy. That's what he would be. Charlie Werner, tight end, run. He's a run blocker type. They got John Bates. I think Bates is better. and Werner would be a special teams guy. And let's see, I think that's, and then you have Sam Darnold, hard to see that. But again, like if I think it'd be good for them to get a veteran quarterback, just because you're going to have a young guy, you're going to want that veteran presence, unless you feel like Howell can be that guy as a veteran type presence for them. I mean, Sam knows a lot, but he hasn't been through, he's only been here for two, he's only been in the league for 2 years. So that might be, they may want someone a little bit older for that, but we'll see. And I don't, but I don't know. And then they also, so that's, there you go. And again, Chase Young's not coming back. So the end. The other guy to watch who was in San Francisco that I think Peters liked, who signed with Tennessee last year, as Azeez El-Shaair, linebacker. I don't know if I butchered the last name, but linebacker signed with Tennessee last year, 1 year, $5 million, looking for a little bit of a bump. So I think these guys can certainly afford it. And like I said, they're not going to have these big splash signings, but they can sign guys, and they have to sign guys because they need a lot. So, you know, I think it's going to be more volume than it is splash. And I think Azeez can fit in that because he's a good linebacker. And the other thing is, a big key is, I mean, he's played strong side, but he can also play the mic. And that's key. So I think with Jamin Davis, you don't want him in that mic role. Now it's funny, because now he's such a, oh, they want to move him around. Jamin Davis moved around last year. He was playing off the edge. He was playing over here. He's playing over there. So it's not like they didn't move him around. He did move around, and he did have a pretty good year. But I think you want to have a guy next to him who can be an effective guy calling the signals, getting guys lined up. And I think, you know, that sounds like what Azeez can do. So I think that's a guy. And if he did indeed like him, and it sounds like he did, meaning Peters, that he's a guy that could draw some interest from them because he would fill a need. And I don't think he's going to break the bank. And I know like Patrick Queen is out there, but he's not a guy who is calling plays in Baltimore, calling the signals. And I do think that's important to have that guy to do that. And I think this could be, to me, a good signing to fill a hole and getting a good solid player in here at what should be, again, if you're getting, you can get him for $7 or $8 million a year. That's not bad. To get a what could be a solid starter for you, and somebody that Peters would know. So that could be a guy to watch. And so anyway, there you go. That's it for me. Here's my conversation with Ryan Kerrigan. Enjoy it.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Trades, free agents, quarterbacks, and all kinds of adventures await the Commanders this offseason. Looking for an adventure of your own? The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring has you covered. The country's largest ropes course and zipline park, located in Montgomery County, Maryland, is now open. Named Best Amusement Park and Climbing Destination in the DMV 2 years in a row, the Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is perfect for birthdays, corporate outings, groups, and families. With challenges anywhere from beginner to expert, there is something for all skill levels. Anytime you're thinking about reaching new heights, make sure you know before you go. The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is the only ACCT accredited park in Maryland or Virginia. Staying on the ground, give axe throwing a try. You can throw at traditional targets or play any number of interactive games. You can even upload your own image. So there you have it, folks. Climbing, ziplining, axes, food, and bonfires right in your backyard. Reserve your adventure today at www.theadventurepark.com/kind. That's www.theadventurepark.com/kind.
For you being back and in a different role, like, what does it mean for you to be back?
It means a lot. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm
I'm young in my coaching career, but I'm loving it, and I want to continue my coaching career. But being able to do it here, where you know this organization means a lot to me, and I have a lot of history here, it really just means a lot. And especially with a fresh start, you know, with Coach Quinn, it's really cool.
Where you got a different role, so what is your role going to be? Is it pass rush specialist and all that? I mean, this feels like you're going back to some of your 3-4 days.
Yeah, I'm excited to get to assist Coach Norton with the linebackers and also still help the guys out with the pass rush. I think that's going to be something that's hopefully beneficial for the guys, and I'm excited for a new role.
What have you thought about Dan and your meetings with him?
As advertised, one of the things I heard a lot about him, even before he became head coach, from different guys around the league, it's just how great of a person he is. I mean, I remember Logan Paulson telling me how much he enjoyed playing for him in Atlanta. Ricardo Allen, my old teammate at Purdue, said the same thing. Said Coach Quinn's awesome, and so far he's been as advertised, and he's high energy, positive energy, and I think that's going to be good for our players.
You've been here so long, except for the 1 year, right? And so what would it mean for you to see, like, because I remember talking to you before you were free agent, and then you're like, you want to be here because you start going in the right direction. Mm-hmm. So what would it mean for you to be here if and when it ever gets to that point? And just how important is that to you?
It would mean a lot to me, absolutely. I mean, you want to win no matter where you are as a football player, football coach. But for me, it's a little more than that here, because I do love, really value and love this organization and the fan base so much. So it really would mean a lot to me to be a part of, good things for the, and big games and big wins for this franchise.
Are you a little concerned that it might not happen? I mean, this is a tricky bit. Coaching is tough. Were you a little bit concerned that you might have to leave to keep coaching?
Sorry,
were you a little bit concerned, and changing staff and your new coach coming in, were you a little bit concerned that you may have to continue somewhere else?
Yeah, of course. I mean, when you're coming off a season like we had last season, we had in-season change. There's no doubt there was going to be change. So I do feel fortunate that I get a opportunity to continue on here, because I do feel like I add a lot of value, and I'm glad that Coach Quinn sees it that way too, and hopefully that produces good fruit in the season.
As a when you hear pass rush specialist, like, what does that mean to you, and like, what are some of the things that that you want to impart as a pass rusher to your players?
Mainly just consistent fundamental approach, process, really a process driven approach, I would say. Just with your get off, with your tracks to the quarterback, with your hands, just being consistent with your process and not being so focused on, okay, I gotta do this move, but okay, how am I getting somewhere quick? Am I getting somewhere violent? And with speed and like I said, violence on my mind.
How are your knees?
Which one?
That's right. Is it the left one that's all swollen up?
Yeah, it's. I mean, my left knee is what it is. I was fortunate to be able to play as long as I did, given when the injury, the initial acute injury occurred, but it is what it is. I'll get a new one sooner or later.
You haven't gotten it yet.
Not yet. I my wife's due with our fourth child any day now, so I figured now wasn't the best time to get a knee replacement. So unfortunately, it's on the horizon, but hey, it was the cost of doing business for me.
Congrats, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's it for this episode. Thanks to Ryan for joining me, and thank you, as always, for tuning in. I'll be back on Monday with another episode as we get closer and closer to free agency. Remember, Monday starts the legal tampering period. Free agency starts on Wednesday. I'll talk to you next time.